Good evening. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White, with someone who I consider to be a force of nature, a force of weirdness, a force of glorified flammability.
That's me.
Kate Hughes.
Hello.
Hello. And I'm with a professional tonight, so I'm a bit nervous because she's on radio once a week.
Oh, you're talking about me.
Yes, I am talking about you.
That's
you
right.
Are the professional.
That's right.
Well, actually, Kate Hughes has a big show, a really big show, coming up this Friday at Steel Stacks.
Yes.
Most Flammable.
Episode 2.
Duh. Part duh. Mm-hmm. Well, and the first show, Most Flammable, appeared last year?
Yeah, March 2019, and then they asked me to come back, and I did it again in June.
Mm. And why did they ask you to come back?
Because I sold out.
Yes!
They had to turn people away. I can't believe it, but yeah, that actually happened.
All right. Well, before we get launched into this, I think our listeners would also be keen to know that you wear multiple hats, and you are very invested in all that you do. You are the co-director of the Bethlehem House Gallery.
The director. That's right.
Excuse me. I have been told.
I'll let it slide this time.
So you're the director of the Bethlehem House Gallery, which is on Main Street.
Yes.
And it's one of those centers for artistic activity.
It is my dream job. I can't believe I get to do what I do. I get to work with some really great artists. I've made so many incredible friends, and I get to be surrounded by beautiful art on a regular basis. I mean, come on. It's a great job.
Yeah, and with the artists, you're working primarily with local artists, or?
Primarily local artists, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's the house gallery is actually not a museum. It looks like a home.
It's set up like a house, yeah. So there's 6 different rooms, and each room has a different home interior design.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, people just drop their jaws when we tell them about how we rotate the exhibitions. It's a quarterly exhibition rotation, and we change everything. We close for 2 weeks in between. We black out the windows so no one can see the magic that's happening. We paint the walls, change the rooms, all new art, all new furniture, and even the fireplace. We have a fireplace, and that moves too.
You move the fireplace.
We do. Well, I don't. We make our.
You have a mason.
That's right. We make our assistant curator, Mike Lebson, we strap it to his back and we make him move it. But Ward Van Hout, the curator of the gallery and executive director, he has about 15 years experience in theater and television set design. So when you go in, that comes across crystal clear. Mm. It's the most beautiful gallery. It just is. Sorry.
Period.
There you go. I'm not sorry.
Well, and in addition to that, because you're on Main Street, you're also very involved with the Downtown Bethlehem Association and the Bethlehem Chamber.
Yeah, I'm on the
Greater Lee of the Greater Lehigh Valley.
The Greater Lehigh Valley. Yeah, I'm a board member on the Chamber of Commerce. I don't trust their judgment at all.
Oh, please.
And DBA, I go to their meetings every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try to keep my finger on the pulse.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then you're also a member of SOTA.
Yeah, Society of the Arts through the Allentown Art Museum.
Yeah. So how is your training in the arts?
Well, I did go to Cedar Crest College. Originally, I went for biology. I wanted to be a vet because I didn't think my parents would send me to school for art. So then I did the old switcheroo while I was in college, and I took my first painting class, and I was like, well, this is where my heart is. So I do have my undergrad in art and fine arts with concentrations in painting, printmaking, and sculpture. And then I just recently went back to Cedar Crest to get my master's in business management.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to know, you know, I'm well versed in the art world, and I thought I want to know everything about running an art business. So here I am.
Okay, so, but you're here being a comedian, storyteller, theater person.
Oh, right.
How did that happen?
Well, I was painfully shy as a child.
Stop it.
Seriously.
No.
I know.
Can't happen.
Yeah, it's true. I wouldn't lie. Yeah. And my parents thought, maybe it's a good idea to send this quiet little kid to dance class. So I did. I went to Connect Dance Academy. I didn't live here. I lived outside of Philadelphia. And though I would drag my feet before I went to rehearsal, I would quite literally hide in my closet. My parents would have to drag me
out. How old were you?
24. No, I was a kid. I think kindergarten I started. I just didn't like rehearsal. I just never did. I wasn't one for showing off back then. Times have changed. No, I just was shy. I didn't have many friends and like to talk to people, but I was serious about dancing. And when we had the recitals and that white hot spotlight would come on and I'd have the costume and I would just, oh God, it just really just fed my soul. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let's do another year. Sign me back up. And they did. And I think that's how I sort of found my voice was through dance. I took tap, ballet, and jazz up until college. I took dance classes in college as well. And then comedy, I was always sort of joking around. I grew up with three boys, no sisters, so you kind of have to roll with the punches. And my father's very funny. My mom's funny, but she doesn't know she's funny. I get a lot of comedic material from her and her stories. And I just thought I was 23 years old, and I was waitressing at the King George Inn across the street from Cedar Crest College way back when. And the owner of the restaurant, Cliff McDermott, said one night they were having this all, it was called Ladies Night. It was all females and like a 4-course meal, something like that. And they had a female comedian. And he was like, hey, Kate, would you want to open for the comedian? I was like, oh God, I could never do that. You know, I was always in the back telling jokes. And he's like, well, I could pay you. I was like, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I can do that.
Suddenly I have it. Yeah, sure.
I have courage now.
Yes.
So I did. I didn't tell anyone. And I invited my mom and my best friend. I practiced for about a week solid. I was supposed to have 5 minutes. I did a half hour.
Oh, my God.
I got a standing ovation. It was a very kind.
Did they give you the hook?
Like, get off. And I had delusions of grandeur. I was like, I'm headed to Hollywood. I mean, that's the next step, right? Waitressing and then Hollywood.
Well, it's that's the way it goes in the movies, right?
That's, yeah. That's right.
And that's true.
Yeah. And then, you know, you did a couple of gigs. You get heckled by people. And I was young and I stopped. I just stopped doing it. Mm. I've acted locally, but I didn't do stand-up for a really long time. And then I thought, hey, I'm not getting any younger. It's what I want. So I thought, I'm going for it.
Good.
Yeah. So here I am trying.
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 So do you do stand-up in some of the drop-in areas around Lehigh Valley?
I wouldn't say stand-up necessarily. I do game shows through Arts Quest and Steel Stacks with Sid Stauffer. She does Mind Meld, and she, I don't know why, she's like, do you want to do this with me? Again, I don't trust her judgment. And we have such a good time. And, you know, I know a lot of the local comedians, and they'll ask me to come on their shows and things like that.
Well, it's a pretty good network. Yeah. I mean, what I've seen from the audience and the programs that have been slowly building under Ryan Hill's leadership at ArtsQuest has been a very supportive community. I don't see the backstabbing or any kind of, undertone kind of thing. And it's so lovely to know that there's a part of an organization here that really does support new work. Because, as a comic, you can't keep coming up and telling the same old jokes.
No, that's a recipe for failure.
Yeah, that's a recipe for bye-bye. Okay, so let's back up a little bit and let's talk about Most Flammable.
Okay.
For listeners, we're talking to Kate Hughes, who has created this work, a one-woman show called Most Flammable. And tell us about it. I mean, just a brief synopsis-ish. Thing.
Okay, I'll try to be brief. That's not my forte. But so again, I wanted to get back into comedy, and I had a pretty terrible year, 2017. I call it my best worst year. And it started with a breakup of a long-term relationship, and every month something really weird just happened to me. I had to fight with my brothers. We stopped talking. I failed miserably on stage. Every actor's like worst nightmare. I could go on and on. And then at the end of the year, I had a cancer scare. I'm fine, but something that kind of just shakes you to the core. And that's when I was like, okay, what is important? What do I want? You know, life is so short anyway. So I thought, I'm doing it. I'm going for it. So I went to Ryan Hill and I said, I have this idea of this one woman show. I know I can fill the seats. And mind you, I had no idea. I didn't even know what the show was going to be. And he took a chance on me. He said, yeah. So I had this photography exhibit at the Bethlehem House Gallery. And I didn't know what I was going to do. We do photography once a year for the Envision Photo Festival in the Lehigh Valley, which runs the month of November. And I decided, 11th hour style, that I would take pictures of these women in my life that have inspired me and basically just picked me up and carried me through that year. And I would print them on cloth and I would stitch the cloth. Things I've never done that before, but I did the research. I found a place that prints on fabric. I sent out the PDF files and I bought some stitching supplies, and I just woke up every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning and I just tried to do something. I didn't know exactly what I was doing, but turned out it worked out. When the doors opened at the gallery and the exhibit opened, these women, I didn't anticipate what was going to happen, and it was really something quite remarkable. And I thought, well, this needs to continue. So I talked to Rachel, the owner of the Apollo Grill, Rachel Griffith, and I said, hey, can I have my work here? She said yes. Mm. And I had about 30 images there. I had about 14 or 15 at the Bethlehem House Gallery.
How big were these images?
They're pretty large. They're they're 20 by 30, most of them. Yeah,
Were there room for customers at this restaurant, maybe?
No, just photography. And same thing. These women came in and they saw their portraits, and I thought, well, here I have a little happiness movement here. So I thought, I'm going to write a book, and the book will be my portraits of these women, and it's not what they look like, it's how I see them, and then my stories about them. And then to promote the book, I'll do this crazy one-woman show, which will be storytelling and stand-up comedy, and it'll feature these women, and they'll have their pictures, and I'll have some videos that I've done, and I'll just try it, see what happens. And that was Most Flammable One.
Is there a book?
I'm still writing the book. Mm-hmm. I have 30 women right about now.
Mm-hmm. And 30 women?
Yeah, still
working on it. How do you fit so many women in your life?
It's amazing what has happened in my life. I'm not your typical gal, I guess, but I've been involved in several female organizations. I worked with V-Day for quite a while and did the vagina monologues for
Eve Ensler's Vagina Monologues?
Yes. For a decade at least. Mm. And, you know, when you're involved with a global movement like that, you meet some pretty incredible women.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just keep meeting them and networking in that way.
So are you limiting your number of women that you're going to be talking about?
No. It's an ongoing project. This episode will feature different women from the first episode. So each live performance of Most Flammable, each episode will highlight different women in my life that have inspired me.
So we are going to take a break in a little bit, but I have a quick question for you. Are the women in episode 2 also getting portraits?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What an honor.
Oh, you think?
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, listeners, we are talking with Kate Hughes. She's the director of Bethlehem House Gallery, a local actor, comedian, multiple talented, beautiful woman, who's going to have her show premiere. Episode 2 will premiere this Friday at Steel Sax at 8 o'clock. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more to Kate Hughes.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
And we're back. Lehigh Valley Art Salon. My name is Sheila White, and I have the utmost pleasure of talking with Kate Hughes, who has a show opening on Friday at Steel Stacks called Most Flammable Episode 2. We were talking before the break a little bit about the women in your life. What compelled you to start with Most Flammable 1 on these portraits? I mean, you were talking about how 2017 was a terrible year for you. So then how did the women come into the story?
Well, I knew because of my breakup. I'm not good at breakups.
You're not good at breakups?
Real bad at them.
Is anybody really good at breaking up?
No, but I need training if anyone's out there that's good at them. So I just knew that I was sort of going to spiral downward. And I enrolled in school. I went back to school. I started going to the gym, you know, get a therapist. You do all the things. A ton of self-help books. A ton. And I have a really great group of friends. I just do. I don't even know where I would be without them. And, you know, they're the kind of friends that you call and you say, you know, I need you. And they're just there with pizza and a bottle of wine. And all my friends are like that. Doing this show has been a testament to those friendships. Everyone has reached out to me. How can I help you? Tell me what to do. Let me know what I can do. Can I hand out flyers? Truly. You know, I had one point in my life where I was breaking up with someone and we lived together. A lot of breakups. I've only had two real relationships, but they're long. Mm-hmm. 8 years.
That's pretty long.
Yeah, we lived together. And every single one of my friends said, you can move in with me. Mm-hmm. All of them. Hmm. That's crazy to me. So I picked one victim and I moved in with her, Noelle. I hope she's listening. And I mean, I met her through V-Day. Mm-hmm. And so it was the easiest thing. I took the longest amount of time to think about, to come up with the idea. I have incredible women, strong women, business owners. It's one woman, great friend of mine, Laura Bly. She's listening. She has this little shop on the south side. She's a designer. I mean, just quit her job and got this storefront and said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this. And she's doing it. Mm-hmm. And not only is she doing it for the public, but she's my personal designer.
Have a personal designer.
No, of course.
I hate you.
I hate Kate. She's making all of my clothes.
Yes, of course she
is. For my show.
Of course. Well, she did the first time,
too, first time, too.
And they were stunning.
Oh, my gosh. I'm a lucky girl. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. That's fantastic.
But, yeah, I surround myself with great women. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, rub off, you know.
Are you ever going to date again?
Dude, That's a great question.
Yeah. I have just become your mother.
I know. So many people want me to. When they find out that you're single, they're just like, how can I help? I feel at this point I have to heal my heart again, and it's a bit of a process. And I feel that I think maybe I would like to not die alone. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. But I have to take time to heal from this and grow and learn. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the common denominator is me. You know, and there's lessons that I have to learn, and I think Most Flammable is a big part of that. It's
now, I saw the first show. I was lucky enough to get tickets to the second show.
You were lucky.
Oh, very lucky. Yeah. And I'm really bummed that I'm going to miss this. So if anybody sees this show and talks to me and tells me details about the show, I will kill them.
Okay.
Because this is a good
show.
You
have been warned.
And there will, and I'm sorry, but there will be a second show. I will make this happen. It's either that or you're just going to have to do a personal private show for me. And maybe I'll invite a friend of mine. But anyway, in that show, there was a lot of stories that were scary, vulnerable, that you shared with an entire audience. And you know, the audience was a lot of friends, true, but a lot of strangers. And so I'm curious to, you know, in the promotions, I saw that this Flammable 2, Most Flammable 2, is the reflections of that first show. And I'm just wondering, how much more information are we going to get?
Buckle up. It's about to get bumpy.
Oh, my.
I I think the secret to anyone's success is to have that level, a certain level of vulnerability. I think that's how you can communicate with people and how they actually listen. I could stand up there and say whatever I wanted to say, but are people really listening? I mean, I hope so, but I think that when you just come down on a human level, mm-hmm. and you say, hey, you know, I fell down a lot and people picked me up when I couldn't do it myself, people really respond to that, because everyone falls down, some more than others. And I my dad is always like, every time I see the phone ringing and it's you, I think, uh-oh.
Oh, dear.
What should you know? Kind of thing. And I was just saying earlier today, people, my friends, I'll text them. I'm like, you're never going to believe this. And they're like, we are. We are totally going to believe whatever you're going to say. And I know that that's how it's like this, the universe, like, hey, why don't you write this down, kind of thing. And I think my sense of humor has absolutely saved me. I'm not saying I have a great sense of humor, but I have one. I need to have one. I think it's has saved me. It's been this little life raft that I've been handed. And I always say, and I said it to you earlier today, you know, tragedy plus time can equal comedy if you know how to spin it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you have an Irish background?
Absolutely.
Of course you do. Yes. It just seems that, and it's something that I share, you know, with my mom and some of my family, you know, we call it the black humor or the dark humor.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the only way you're going to be able to deal with this if you crack a joke.
Yeah.
And if it's at a really inopportune moment. That's
even
perfect.
Better. Even
perfect
better.
Timing.
Right. At a funeral.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why we have great funerals.
We
you
do.
Know?
We have the best funerals.
Yes. Yeah. There's the appropriate time for sadness. And then, you know, and that you have to let the tears out so you can fill it with laughter.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think, you know, therapeutically, being able to just purge these stories by telling them is also something not just for you, but also for the listener. I think, you know, there's a lot to be said about sharing stories that then we find our commonality.
Yes, and that's really what I found with doing the first show. People came up to me. I've gotten Facebook messages, emails, letters. People were like, you know, I understand that. I didn't go through exactly what you went through, but I understand that feeling of sadness, or, you know, feeling like you're going to give up and you get thrown a rope by someone, and mm-hmm. and then you look back and you feel like, well, I got through that. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be other months and years that kind of knock you out.
Most flammable, though. Why?
I could go up in flames at any moment.
But you're a phoenix then. Yeah. You keep coming back.
Bad penny. That's right. Can't keep me down. It was maybe not funny. I did talk about this in the most flammable episode one, the second round, because I thought I got to switch it up a little bit in the beginning. When I was 23, I was in this really horrific car accident where I flipped my car a couple times and smashed it into a tree. I was 23 years old and my car was just like an accordion. And someone told me that the ambulance drove by and they stopped and they were like, who's ever in there is not alive anymore. And then they saw me open the car door, and I got up. I stood up out of the car, and I was like, "What else you got? Is that all?"
Oh no!
So
oh,
no. I consider myself to be a tough little cookie. Mm-hmm. I cry a lot, you know. Who doesn't? Yeah. But you get through it. I want to be remembered as a strong person.
Well, yeah, I think you're pretty much imprinting that already. Kate Hughes, Most Flammable, episode 8 o'clock?
8 p.m.
8 p.m. at Steel Stacks. How do people get tickets if they're still available?
If they're still available, you mm-hmm. can just go on the Steel Stacks website. I've been Googling Most Flammable, Kate Hughes, and it pops right up to the
okay.
to the website. I think it's just like www.steelstacks.org.
Okay.
I hope.
with wonderful designs from Laura Bly.
Oh, yes.
And again, media will be there as well. Big projections of these
yep.
portraits?
The video and the big movie screen behind me.
Well, Laura, I mean, Kate.
It's like we're the same person. It's fine.
Betty. My gosh. Anyway, I want to thank you for being here. And thanks, Steve Aronson, for being our delightful engineer.
Thank you.
As always, he's such a stable guy. Yes. You've been listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm Sheila White.